Parsha Shoftim and Kiseitse say highlight various aspects of Dinei Melchama, different between Melchemes Mitzvah as opposed to Melchemes Rishus. The opening Mishnah tells us in Masechet Sanhedrin that Ein Motzin Melchemes Rishus El Al Pi Bezen Shel Shivim VeEchad. It is necessary to have the authorization of the Sanhedrin in order to wage war, provided that is considered to be a Melchemes Rishus. Rashi comments in the very beginning of Sanhedrin that Kol Melchama Kari Rishus Levadmi Melchemes Yehoshua, which was the purpose of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam writes, Rashi writes that it means Melchemes Yehoshua, Kibush Ha'aretz, that is considered to be a Melchemes Mitzvah. And the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos adds the Melchama Shiva Amamim, conquering Eretz Yisrael, as Rashi alludes to, and also the Rambam comments Melchemes Amalek. Melchemes Amalek certainly is considered to be a Melchemes Mitzvah as well. It's not necessarily a machlokis between Rashi and the Rambam. It is an important ta'ara that Rashi doesn't say explicitly Melchemes Amalek. It could very well be that when Rashi comments Melchemes Yehoshua, in such a case that's a reference not only to Kibush Sha'aretz, but that is also a reference to Melchemes Amalek. In Parshas B'Shalach, the Torah tells us Vayomer Moshe El Yehoshua V'chal Lanu Anashim. And therefore, the Torah tells us Vayachlosh Yehoshua Es Amalek. So therefore, it could very well be that the phrase which Rashi uses, Melchemes Yehoshua, has a dual implication, not only Kibush Ha'aretz, but also Melchemes Amalek as well. The Ritva, for example, in the very beginning of Maseches Megillah, comments that we know that there are different times of Kriyas HaMegillah. If you have an ear which is Mukav Choma, Mimos Yehoshua Benun, so therefore they will read on Tesvav. And why is it that it was determined at the time of Yehoshua? Obviously that was not the time of the Nes of Purim. So the Ritva answers the following, that the Tirtzu HaRishonim, after all, because Yehoshua was the one Shenilcham Ba'amalek Tchila, and Haman was Mizaro Shal Amalek, and therefore the Melchama against Amalek throughout the generations. We acknowledge the particular role of Yehoshua, and therefore La Halacha. We are Koveya, a Halacha of Mukav Choma, based on Yehoshua Ben Nun. So again, a further reference that perhaps to support the possibility when Rashi writes Melchemes Yehoshua, this also includes Melchemes Amalek as well. The Rambam in Perakei Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Malachim mentions Shiva Amamim, mentions the case of Melchemes Amalek, and then the Rambam adds that Be'ezras Yisrael Mitzar Shabalehim, and whenever it's necessary for Klal Yisrael to engage in defense against a nation which is persecuting us, that already has the status of a Melchemes Mitzvah. What exactly the differences between Melchemes Mitzvah as opposed to cases of Melchemes Rishus? So the Rambam writes in Perakei Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Malachim the following, that Ein HaMelech Nilcham Tchila Ela Al Melchemes Mitzvah. In terms of priority, first the Rambam writes the Melech is obligated to wage war in terms of Melchemes Mitzvah. And once that is done, then V'achar Kach Nilcham V'Melchemes HaRishus. But one cannot engage in Melchemes HaRishus before one already establishes that which is necessary for a Melchemes Mitzvah. And then furthermore, the Rambam writes in Perakei Halacha Beis that when it comes to Melchemes Mitzvah, there is no need to be no to Rishus mi Bezdin. That's based on that Mishnah, Sanhedrin Daf Beis Siman Aleph. And therefore, when it comes to a Melchemes Mitzvah, the Rambam writes, Yotzei me'asmo b'chol eis. If the Torah insists that this is what indeed must be done, so in such a case, then there's no need to get the authorization of the Sanhedrin itself. Boshub Shat in the Rambam, it means that Yotzei Me'atzmo seems to indicate that he doesn't have to consult with the Sanhedrin, and perhaps Boshub Shat in the Rambam as well, there is no need even for Urim Vitumim. The Rambam writes that Yotzei Me'atzmo B'choleis, that the Torah says this is what must be do, so therefore consultation is not considered to be necessary. If this is in fact an appropriate diuk in the Rambam, the fact that the Rambam writes Yotzei Me'atzmo, it means that there's no need not only for Sanhedrin, which is a Mishnah, but there's no need even for Urim Ketumim, that would mean that this is against the Ramban in the very end of Sefer HaMitzvot. Because the Ramban in the very end of the Sefer HaMitzvot and the Hosafos from Mitzvot Bosaseh, in Divra Maschil Be'ato, here the Ramban writes that even when it comes to a Melchemes Mitzvah, you don't need the Rishus of the Sanhedrin, but it is necessary to consult of the Urim V'Tumim. And that is Poshub Shat in Rashi as well. Rashi in Parshas Pinchas, in Perachov Zayin, Pasachov Aleph. There Rashi as well. We are discussing the case of Melchemes Yehoshua, And Rashi explains the consultation of Urim V'Tumim in that process. Boshav Shat is the view of the Ramban that Urim V'Tumim is necessary not only in a Milchemes Rishus, but even when it comes to Milchemes Mitzvah. He once pointed out parenthetically, the Gemara tells us in Yumad HaKafalach Maveiz, that in the time of Bayisheni, there were several things that were missing in the Beis HaMikdash, and one of them was Urim V'Tumim. What exactly does that mean? The Urim V'Tumim were lacking in the time of Bayisheni. The Rambam writes the following Chiddush, of Beis HaBechira, Peredal, and Halacha Aleph, where the Rambam writes that it cannot mean literally that the Urim V'Tumim were absent. After all, Urim V'Tumim are part of the Big Day Kohuna. And if a Kohen Gadol were to do Avoda without Urim V'Tumim, in such a case he would be Mechuser V'Gadim, and the Avoda would be Mechuleles. So how can the Gemara say it was missing in the time of Bayisheni? The Rambam writes it doesn't mean it was absent, it means it ceased its function. Ein Meshivin. If you would consult with the Urim V'Tumim, it would not give the type of response as it did earlier in Bayis Rishon. But certainly the Urim V'Tumim had to have been present, and the Raivad disagrees. The Raivad writes that Urim V'Tumim is not Mecheshvan HaBagadim. Urim V'Tumim is not one of the Big Day Kohen Gadol. When you enumerate the eight of Big Day Kohunas, in such a case Urim V'Tumim is not one of them. And therefore, very literally, when the Gemara says that Urim V'Tumim were not present, it means they were not present, they were missing. Not just simply that they cease to function. What exactly is this machlokas, the Rambam and the Raivad? After all, obviously, the Rambam assumes there are eight Big Day Kuna, there are not nine. How does the Rambam write that there's a psul of Mechusa Begadim? Boshav Shat in the Rambam sheet is the following, that Urim V'Tumim is not independent, but Urim V'Tumim is an inherent part of the Choshen. The Choshen, of course, are one of the Big Day Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol would not wear the Choshen in such a case, of course, that's Mechusa Begadim and Avodah is Mechuleles. Boshav Shat in the Rambam sheet is Urim V'Tumim is not independent, but rather is an inherent part of the Choshen. If one were to create the following analogy, right, that you have an Aron, it's part of the Klei HaMikdash, it's necessary that the Aron house the Luchos. Without the Luchos, you don't have an Aron. Hu Hadinami, the Rambam understood, the same thing is true when it comes to Urim V'Tumim and the Choshen. Without Urim V'Tumim, you don't have the status of a Choshen. In Parshas Truma, the Torah tells us, V'nasata, regarding the Eidus, you place the Luchos in the Aron. In Parshas Tetzav, the Torah tells us, V'nasata, Sachosh Mishpat, Urim V'Tumim. You also place Urim V'Tumim in the Choshen. The Rambam understood that it's an inherent part of the Choshen, and therefore it must have been present even in the time of Bayisheni as well. According to the Raivad, that is not true. The Raivad will acknowledge that the Luchos are inherent parts of the Aron. The purpose of the Aron is to house the Luchos, but the Urim V'Tumim is something which is independent. If you look in Drasha Saran, in Drasha Gimel, the Drasha Saran also assumes as the Shita of the Raivad, after all, that his raya is the Urim V'Tumim is not mentioned together with the Big Day Kohuna. If you look in Parshas Pekudei, there the Torah mentions the Urim V'Tumim, but together when the Torah enumerates the Big Day Kohen Gadol, it makes no reference at all to Urim V'Tumim. And the Ran goes a step further and quotes the Medrash you're familiar with. That why is it that Aaron HaKohen was Zoche to the Urim V'Tumim? Rashi quotes the Medrash V'Racha V'Samach V'Livo, because that Aaron HaKohen was so elated that Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen, he didn't feel that level of jealousy, so therefore V'Racha V'Samach V'Livo, he was Zoche to Urim V'Tumim, which are Al Halein. So the Ran asks the following, what exactly does that mean? That's why Aaron HaKohen was Zoche to the Kohuna? That's not what the Medrash writes. That's why Aaron HaKohen was Zoche to the Urim V'Tumim, as though one could have envisioned that Aaron would be the Kohen Gadol, but yet someone else would wear the Urim V'Tumim. The Ran writes that it would have been possible, in principle, for Aaron HaKohen to be the Kohen Gadol wearing the Shmona Begadim, but the Urim V'Tumim perhaps would have been the task of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore the Torah goes out of its way and says, in this schus, Aaron HaKohen was given the privilege of Urim V'Tumim, not the privilege of Kohuna. You can be a Kohen Gadol even without Urim V'Tumim. And that's the Raya of the Ran. From that Medrash to support the Shita of the Raivad. It's an interesting Kiddush. Again, that Machlokas, Rambam and Raivad regarding the Urim V'Tumim in the time of Bayisheni. But again, for our purposes, right, they further Machlokas simply in terms of who is it that would utilize the Urim V'Tumim, as we mentioned, whether it was necessary for a Milchemes Mitzvah. The Rambam writes that no yotze mi'atzma, yotze mi'atzma seems to indicate without consultation at all, and the Ramban writes in Poshim Shat and Rashi, Urim V'tum is in fact necessary. A further difference, which you find between Melchemes Mitzvah as opposed to Melchemes Rishus, is what the Torah delineates of She'el HaShalom. The Torah writes in Devarim and Perichav, Pasuk Yud, that Kisikra vel ir lehilachem aleha, when you're about to wage battle, v'karasa eileha l'shalom. It's necessary to go in to reach out in order to seek peace. What exactly is that referring to? So Rashi writes, v'melchemes harishus hakosav medame. And Rashi writes, this is referring to melchemes rishus. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban writes that kriyas ha-shalom afilu v'melchemes mitzvah. Even when it comes to Melchemes Mitzvah, even when it comes to Shiva Anim, we are given that opportunity as well. So fundamental Machlokas Rashi and Ramban, Sheva Shalom, everyone agrees when it comes to Melchemes Rishus, is this also required when it comes to Melchemes Mitzvah? And the Ramban, Hachos Malachim, Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph, assumes as the Shita of the Ramban. The Rambam writes that Ein Osin Melchame in Adam Ba'olam, there's no war whatsoever, Ad Shekar No L'Shalom, unless there is first Sheila Shalom. And the Rambam writes explicitly that Echad Melchemes HaRashus V'Echad Melchemes Mitzvah. Even when it comes to Melchemes Mitzvah, that overture is considered to be that which is critical. There is a comment that the Netziv has. It's found in Parsha Shofti Mehmet Dover, right, in Dvarim Perachav Pasuk Yud. What exactly is the Karosa Leil HaShalom? What exactly does that entail? So the Netziv points out that there seems to be a fundamental machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. When the Rambam describes in Perek Vav Hilchos Malachim this process, the Rambam writes that there are three conditions. One is mas, taxation, the other is avdus, and then the Rambam adds the further one, and that is Kabbalah Shiva Mitzvos. Kabbalah Samitzvos is necessary as well. Rashi, when Rashi mentions that this is the case, Rashi only refers you to the first two, taxation of mas and also avdus. But it points out to some extent that this is l'shitasei, that if you assume that this extends even to Melchemes Mitzvah, so when Bnei Yisrael is entering Eretz Yisrael, they're going to wage war against the Shiva Amim, it would not be sufficient, right, as Rashi would assume, just to agree on mas and avdus, right, and to allow them to go ahead and continue without any form of Kabbalah Shemitzvah Sveinoach, that's certainly not true. But since the Rambam understands that Netziv writes this even applies to a Melchemes Mitzvah, so in such a case, the Rambam assumes naturally that Kabbalah Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach is considered to be critical. The Torah would not allow the Shivamin to remain in Eretz Yisrael. In such a case, if they simply agree to taxation or agree to avdus, according to Rashi, that is considered to be a Melchemes HaRashus, not a Melchemes Mitzvah. So in such a case, Rashi writes that Kabbalah Mitzvahs is not considered to be critical to Sheila Shalom. If one is expanding, for example, or just conquering, so one could envision that Matan Avdus is in fact sufficient. And it's if writes an interesting finish that this is a Lashitase in the Machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Then the Rambam writes a further nafkamina. This is found again in Perek Vav, but here Halacha Dalid, Tochos Malachim. What happens if Lo Hishlimo? What happens if there is that gesture, there is that overture of Sheva Shalom, and the Gemara Salim refuse? Or, for example, they agree, right, to live peacefully, but the Rambam writes Lo Kiblu Sheva Mitzvos, but they refuse to be Mekabel Mitzvos. So what then? So here the Rambam writes that there is a critical difference again between a Melchemes Rishus as opposed to a Melchemes Mitzvah. Here, right, that is unacceptable. The Rambam writes that they must agree to all three aspects, Mas, Avdus, and Kabbalah's Mitzvot. If they do not, then what? So the Rambam writes, when it comes to Melchemes Rishus, so therefore you wage war. However, the Rambam writes, Ein Harkim Isha V'lo Katan. However, you don't annihilate the nation. You wage a normal war. And you fight against the men. When it comes, however, to Shiva Amamin, and when it comes to Amalek, if Lo Yishlimu, if they don't agree with these terms, so then the Rambam writes that Ein Manichim Mehem Neshama. That's when we apply the halacha of Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama. That pasuk of Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama applies to Melchemes Mitzvah only in the case of Lo Yishlimu. That's the chiddush that the Rambam And then furthermore, the Torah tells us in Parsha Shoftim as well, that what about Chosen Me'orche Milchama? What about those individuals that the Torah says, to some extent, have an exemption from a Milchama? Mia Yisha Shorbana Bayis Chadosh Lochanacha, one with Noteya Kerem, Eras Isha Velola Kacha. What about those particular cases? The Rambam writes, now in the next parak, in Hachos Malachim, parak Zayin Halacha Dalet, that this is only when it comes to a Mochemes Rishus. When it comes to Mochemes Rishus, the Torah says there are certain built-in exceptions, built-in examples. But the Rambam writes, when it comes to Mochemes Mitzvah, then Hakol Yotzin, the Rambam writes, even Chosan Mechedra, Kala Mechupasa, even a Chosan from the Chuppah. Even then, we assume that everyone, in fact, must come. So the Rambam writes that those exemptions are only when it comes to Mochemes Rishus, not when it comes to a case of Mochemes Mitzvah. Regarding that case of Chorzim Eparchei HaMochama, those cases the Torah mentions, right, Manabayis, Natsakerem, Eras Isha, the Minchas Chinuch has the following suffix. Minchas Chinuch is found in Tavkuf Chavav, where the Minchas Chinuch writes, what are these cases? Right? Are these exemptions that you have a choice? You can either fight or not fight? Is that what it means? Or does it mean that no, you are not allowed to participate in the Milchama? The Torah doesn't give you a choice. If you are one of these individuals, so therefore you are not allowed to go ahead and fight. The Minchas Chinuch writes that it's mistaber to assume that when it comes to one who is Yarei Levavo, one who is faint, one who is fraught with trepidation, so in such a case, then he is not allowed to fight. But you have a person who is so hesitant, right, who is just married or something, let's say a person who is so hesitant. In such a case, then, right, for him to fight, that would be terrible for the whole Milcham in general. However, when it comes to those others, right, the person who is steadfast and strong-minded, but he was banabayis mochanacho, that's the suffix that the Minchas Chinuch has. If you look, however, in Rashi in Parsha Shoftim, Rashi seems to indicate in Parakha Pasuk Zayin that now that there's a chiyuv to do so. The Torah is not giving you rishus. The Torah is telling us that these individuals, in fact, are considered to be exempt. But again, the Rambam writes that these cases are limited to those instances where it's considered to be a mochemes harashus. Rav Slomeichik once gave the following biur, that perhaps one could argue that why is it limited to mochemes harashus as opposed to a case of mochemes mitzvah? After all, the following, because when it comes to a mochemes mitzvah, for example, Zayin Amamin, or when it comes to mochemes amalek, one could argue as follows. The Rambam writes earlier, Hilchos Malachim Perakei Halacha Dalet, when it comes to Zayin Amamim, the Rambam writes, V'chol Shebo Liyodo Echad Mehem, if anyone confronts a member of the Shiva Amamim, V'lo Harago, and a person does not kill him, after all the Pasuk says, Lo Sechayik on Neshama, Hareza Over V'lo Sase, you violate an Yisr Lav, Shenemer Lo Sechayik on Neshama. We'll discuss this in future shiurim, but the Rambam writes the following. When it comes to Zayin Amamim, and Rav Slomeichik assumed that this is even true in the next halacha of the Rambam, when it comes to Mochemes Amalek, this is a Chovas Yochid. Everyone is obligated to do so. V'chol Shebo Liyodo Echad Mehem, even outside of the formal context of Milchama. Maybe one could have disagreed, because when the Rambam writes that Chiddush, V'chol Shebo Liyodo Echad Mehem, it's interesting. The Rambam mentions that when it comes to Zayin Amamin. But in the very next halacha, Perakei Halacha Hey, when the Rambam mentions Mochemes Amalek, the Rambam does not write that particular phrase. The Rosh Slavichik assumed that no, the Rambam writes this in Halacha Dalit, it also applies in Halacha Hey. What exactly does that mean? So in such a case, it's a Chovas HaYachid. Well, if it's a Chovas HaYachid to do so, so therefore, you're not going to have those exemptions which are midinei mochama. If the Torah tells us when it comes to dinei mochama, there's certain exemptions, but when it comes to Zayin Amin, when it comes to Amalek, it is considered to be a chovas haprat, a chovas hayachid, One then could understand very well why the Rambam tells us that all of those cases mentioned in the parshas when it comes to Melchemes Rishus. When it comes to the formal Dinei HaMelchama, so in such a case there are built-in exemptions in that particular case. However, when it comes to, right, Zayin Amamim, or when it comes to cases of Amalek, then in that instance there is no such dispensation. It's an interesting chiddush. That could mean the following possibility. The Rambam had a third instance of Yeshua Yisrael, which is considered to Melchemes Mitzvah. If this is the beer, perhaps one can argue when it comes to Yeshua Yisrael, that certainly is Midinei HaMelchama, and therefore maybe one can argue in that sense, then there we have the halachos of Chorzen Me'orchei HaMelchama. After all, it's a question of whether this is Melchama or whether this is considered to be a particular prat within that which is Chovas HaYachid. Then the further difference is what you find in the beginning of Parshas Ki Seitzei. The Torah tells us the Parsha of Yifas Toar. What type of Melchama is that referring to? Rashi writes in the very beginning of the Parsha, the Melchemes Rishus HaKosav Medavid. Again, this is referring to Melchemes Rishus. However, the Minchasinah points out in Tavkuf Lamed Beis that it does not appear that way from the Rambam at all. The Rambam mentions the halachos of Yifas Toar. The Rambam does not distinguish between a Melchemes Mitzvah as opposed to Melchemes Rishus. Minchasinah writes, Minei Rambam lo chilek b'Melchemes Rishus to Melchemes Mitzvah. And in all cases, the Torah allows fat for Yifas Toar. Why should one assume, perhaps, that it is limited, it only applies to Melchemes Mitzvah, it doesn't apply to Melchemes, only applies to Melchemes Rishus, not to Melchemes Mitzvah? One could argue very simply, as we saw in the Rambam earlier, you have the gesture of Shela Shalom, and they do not meet the requirements, so then you wage battle, and what do? Well, when it comes to Melchemes HaRishus, so you're fighting a battle against the soldiers. However, when it comes to Melchemes Mitzvah, then lo sechaya kol neshama. So if lo sechaya kol neshama, so then how do you envision the parsha of Yifas Toar? Lo sechaya kol neshama. Apparently, you see, according to the Rambam's chiddush, that within the misgeres, the framework of Yifas Toar, in such a case, then that is an exception to lo sechaya kol neshama. Interesting chiddush according to the Rambam. If the Yifas Toar is only mentioned in Melchemes HaRishus, then there's no halacha lo sechaya kol neshama. There's no contradiction. But according to the Rambam, Yifas Toar is mutter despite the fact that otherwise all these individuals should be annihilated. In other words, that this is part of the Heter Hakra when it comes to the Parsha of Yifas Toar. This is a very important issue because Rishon discussed at length that Yifas Toar obviously is allowing something which otherwise would be forbidden. No? This is Lo Dibre Tor Elek Negin Yitzahara. That's a Sukkim Kedushin and Avchav Aleph Medeins. That there is something which, normally speaking, would be Aser, that the Parsha Yifas Toar allows. How do you know that this is true? Because the Gemara is willing to apply, according to Rav, the principle of Ho, the Ishtar Yishtri, a very great Kiddush. The Gemara Kedushin raises the following Safek, Kedushin Avchav Aleph Medeins. The Kohen Mahu Yifas Toar. What exactly would the halacha be of Yifas Toar when it comes to a Kohen? So Rav says that that is mutter. The Parsha Yifas Toar is mutter even when it comes to a Kohen as well. And Shmuel disagrees, and Shmuel says it is considered to be that which is us. What exactly is Machlokes? The Gemara has two possibilities. One is the following. When it comes to Bir Rishona, everyone agrees that that is mutter. Lo Dibre Torah Elo Kenegin Yitzahara. The Machlokes is Ki Pligi B'Bir Shnir. What about subsequently? Are you allowed to go ahead and to continue to live with this Yifas Toar? Why does Rav assume that it's mutter? Rav applies the principle of hold the Ishtari Ishtri. Look, Yifas Toar is something that normally is usher. And here the Torah goes out of its way and tells us that it is mutter. If that is true, just like it's Matir Isser A, it can be Matir Isser B. And Shmuel disagrees and says, no, that's not true. Yifas Toar is Matir Isser A, but Meichat Eisi, that it can be Matir the Isser of Giores Lakonin. Part of the prasi Yifas Toar is Gerus, and a Kohen cannot marry a Gioris. So Meichat Eisi, Yifas Toar should allow. So a very fundamental machlokes. between Rav and Shmuel whether the Heter Yifas Tohar is only Matir A, the Parsha Yifas Tohar, or it could extend even to other cases as well, whether you can apply the principle of Hovishtar Yishtri. But one thing is clear, that Yifas Tohar is a Heter. Otherwise, how can you even envision Hovishtar Yishtri? The Rashba has a critical comment, and that's the condition of Chafal Chaveis. We discussed this in earlier Shiurim. When do you apply this principle of Hov Yishtar Yishtrim? What is the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel? How does this impact on Shar Yisrei Torah? So the Rashba gives us a couple of different fascinating models. The Rashba writes the following. When it comes to Yibum, Yibum normally should be Aser. There's Nisr of Eish HaSaf. Well, obviously, Yibum is not to the Isra of Eish HaSaf, but maybe one should argue that's only true when it comes to that which is necessary for the mitzvah of Yibum. Be Rishona. Maybe even Tchilas Biyah, but nothing more. Obviously that's not true. The halacha of Yibum is not that you perform Yibum, then you divorce this woman. The pasuk says that she is to Ishtov and Chol Tzarav. So therefore, when it comes to Yibum, we don't only allow Be Rishona. We allow everything afterwards as well. But the Rashba writes that's not true when it comes to a particular case of Yibum. Let's assume, for example, you have a Kohen who dies without children, and the brother is a Kohen Gadol. Now you have a problem. In addition to this Isser of Eish HaSaf, which Yibum always entails, here there's another Isser of Almana, the Kohen Gadol. Can the mitzvah of Yibum be doche the Isser of Almana, the Kohen Gadol? The Gemara writes in Yevamos and Dachav, it depends. This Kohen just died. What stage of Ishus did he have before he died? If all they had was Erisin, but his wife is still a Basuma, so in such a case, it would involve an Isser Lav. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry in Almana, in Isser Lav. If, however, they were fully married, so now she is a Behuma. And that's a problem, because for a Kohen Gadol to marry an Almana, Lachar Nisuin, who's a Ba'ula, that's a Lav, Almana, but an Essay, Basuli Ikak. No, a Kohen Gadol can only marry a Basula. That would be a Lav and an Essay. So the Gemara suggests the following. If you're talking about a case where they were fully married, Eris and Nisuin, you can't have Yibum, because Ein Essay Do Halosa, save Essay. The mitzvah of Yibum cannot be docha the lav of Almana and the essay of Basuma. However, if it was an Almana min ha'erisin, where all it involves is the lav, then you should apply essay docha los essay. So midaraisa, Yibum could take place, because essay docha los essay, the Isra of Eish HaSaf falls off, the Isra of Almana, that will be suspended based on essay docha los essay. But the Gemara in Yevamos Nafchaf Mabei is the following problem. But how is that going to help us? In order to allow for Essay Do Halosa, say you need a mitzvah sasei. When do you have a mitzvah sasei? You only have the mitzvah sasei for Bi Rishona. For Bi Rishona. And Tosas even goes a step further. Tosas writes, Yibam Ostaf, Chaf Mabeis, not only Bi Rishona, only Tchilas Bia. Tchilas Bia. The only thing you would allow is that which is absolutely necessary for the mitzvah of Yibam. Above and beyond the mitzvah of Yibam, no good. That would mean that midaraisa, there would be a maisef bia, and then they'd be obligated to get divorced. So the Gemara says the following: that midrabanan gazru bi rishona ato bi yishmiya. Midrabanan, we don't allow for yibum at all. We insist on chalitza, but we don't allow for yibum, because yibum would mean one maisef bia, or according to Tosfos, even a tchilas bia. Tosfos points out, this is an important chiddush, that even though ayidei tchilas bia, there's no possibility of Bahakim Shem Lahir. There's no possibility of having a child. She will not become pregnant as a result of a Tchilas Bia. Tosfos writes in Yevamos Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, right, the earlier Amud, that doesn't matter. You don't record that that's true. Right, the couple is 80 years old, they're still in the Mitzvah of Yibum. Bahaya Bukhara Sher Teilid, the Gemara says a drush of Pratla Islandis. If she's an Islandis, then there's no Mitzvah of Yibum. But as long as that is not the case, she is not an Islandis, you don't require a bia that necessarily can result in that what the Torah envisions of lahakim shem la'achim. So the Rashba is bothered. So when it comes to Yibum, the straight case of Yibum, We assume that just as Yibum is matter of Isra v'Eshesach in the mitzvah of Yibum, it's matter of Isra v'Eshesach l'gamrei. The Yishniyah is mutter as well. When it comes to an instance of almana, there we assume only that which is allowed is what corresponds what is necessary for the mitzvah. We don't assume holy ishtar ishtari. And here you have machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So the Rash Barais, how do you make sense out of all those cases? When it comes to Yibum, everyone agrees holy ishtari ishtari. When it comes to almana, no one assumes holy ishtari ishtari. When it comes to our parsha, Yifas Toar, now this is the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel with the prior principle of holy ishtari ishtari. So the Rash Barais traces this beautiful teretz, and that is that this is all a function of Hutra versus the Chuyah. You can only apply the principle of holy ishtari ishtari in cases of Hutra. If you can argue that the Isser, right, is lifted, even b'makom shef shalakayim shneihem, that's Hutra. That's what the Gemara writes in Yuman Dafav, in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Beis. The difference between Hutra versus Dukhui is whether it's ef shalakayim shneihem. For Hutra, you don't have to look for a way out. The model of the Torah is the following. B'nei Yisrael are tamei, rov for all of the tzibur is tamei, and we realize that, you know, it's going to be time soon to offer a Korban Pesach. What do you do? So if it's a yachid, Pesach Sheni. If it's a tzibur, the carbon is offered betumas. The Gemara says that question is whether it's true, whether it's tuchui. L'mayin afkamina, the Gemara writes the following. The Sanhedrin has a solution. The Sanhedrin can add an extra month, they'll buy time, and then hopefully by the time Pesach will arrive, everyone will be tahor. So the Gemara says the extreme machlokes. If you assume that tumas is tuchui of a tzibur, the Sanhedrin must add an additional month. If you hold that tumah is hutra b'tzibur, that's called ibur hashanah, shelo l'tzarech. What problem are you solving by ibur hashanah? The tumah problem. Tumah is hutra b'tzibur. If tumah is duchui b'tzibur, you're obligated to do so. That's an important yisod. Right? The difference in hutra and duchui is efsher yefsher l'kayim shneihem. So a corollary to that, the Rashba writes the following. Duchui only allows that which is minimally necessary for the Maisa HaMitzvah. So in such a case, why is it that Yibum is allowed in a case where the brother, the Yavim, is a Kohen Gadol? That's because of Esseh Dolcha Lo Saseh. The Mitzvah of Yibum is Dolcha Yisra HaMana. That's Dukhuya. That's only if it's Efshel HaKayim Shneihem. Dukhuya does not entail Hov Ishtri Ishtri. However, when it comes to Yibum and Eshesach, is that only Dukhuya? Here the Rashba writes, that's not Dukhuya. That's Hutra. Fosh of Shas, if you want to know that which is Hutra and Dukhuya, the starting point usually is the following. To what extent is the relationship of the Isser and the Heter so tight, although that this is built in, almost an exception to the case? Eish Esach is built into Yibum. That's Akasha. How can Yibum be Doch L'Isser of Eish Esach? It obviously is, and wonders one could raise the issue. In the very unusual case, one out of 100,000, that it so happens that a Kohen died and his brother is a Kohen Gadol, built into the mitzvah of Yibum is the fact that Yibum is Docha the Isser of Aman of a Kohen Gadol? Of course not. Circumstance brought these Yisurim together. Normally we assume the following, that which is true by definition, by essence, that's not the Kliya. If, however, right, that is not the case, if incidentally two Yisurim will come together, that's the issue. The Rashi writes, Naseres HaDibros, Zachav HaShamor, V'Dibra Achad Nemro. And then Rashi adds the list based on the Medrash. Rashi says, I'll give you another example of the Dibur Echad. Yibum and Eish Esach is B'Dibur Echad Nemro. Rashi says another example. Mechala Mos Yumas, you can't be Mechala Shabbos, but Uvyama Shabbos Shnei Kvasim and Eshanot Tamimim, but bring Karbanos. What does Dibur Echad Nemro mean? It means that means not to Chuya. It means it's built in. No? It's a Kasha? How can you bring a carbon on Shabbos? The Torah says, you must bring a carbon on Shabbos. Now, how can you do Yibum? The Torah insists that you have to do Yibum. Whether Yibum applies in a case of a Kohen Gadol and Amana, right, that one has to assess. That's not true by definition. That's a function of other extraneous kilonim. In such a case, that's a function of that which is the chuliyah. The Rashba writes the beautiful lamdus that yibum in eshasak is hutra, but not true when it comes to the case of one. The point gadol. This is also found in the Tosas Yishanim in Yevamos and Avchesam Abayis. This difference hutra versus the chuliyah. Our case is a fascinating one of Yifas Toar, because Yifas Toar, one could reasonably understand, is somewhat of a mid-ground. It's not incidental. Incidental? It's part of the definition of Yifas Toar. Yifas Toar is Matir and Isser, like Yibum is Matir and Isser. That is the Heter HaKra. But there is a marked difference, whereas in Yibum, no, this is a mitzvah rabba. Here, when it comes to Yifas Toar, this is an accommodation. Lo divra Torah ela keneged yetzer hara. So on the one hand, the heter is true by its essence, it's true by definition, but not ideally, it's an accommodation. Perhaps that's part of the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav assumes if the parsha, built into the parsha is the heter, therefore, lo vishter yishteri. And Shmuel maintains, v'med from amurim, you're dealing with a bias mitzvah. You're dealing with, right, here, a bias harashus. Lo dibra tol k'nitza hara. So therefore, you have no right to assume that lo vishter yishteri. Maybe lo dibra tol k'nitza hara is good for A, but not for B. You can't necessarily assume that if it's matir, it is matir the gamre. It's a fascinating Rashba position of Chafalev. It's relevant for many sugyas when the Gemara is willing to apply the case of Hov Yishtri Yishtri. So as mentioned in that sugya, it is clear that Yifas Toar is Matir in Isser. What Isser is Yifas Toar Matir? That is very unclear. It's clearly Matir in Isser. Dibre Torah in Isser Era. Hov Yishtri Yishtri. But what exactly is the Isser? So if you look at Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, and that's Sugya, Chafalof Mubeis, Chafeis Meralev, there's a very fundamental machlokes. The Ramban writes in the Parsha, at the very beginning of Kisei, so this is 2 days in Yerushalmi. What is the case of Yifas Toar? Very simply, what is the case of Yifas Toar? The Torah allows for a Maisabia. When does this Maisabia take place? When does this Maisabia take place? Rashi writes the following chiddush natsugi in Kedushin, that even Birishona is la'achar kol hamasim haksuvim b'parsha, la'achar gerus. Nothing is allowed then and there. The whole heter hakra is la'achar gerus. And Rabbi Nitzam writes, no, that's not true. Birishona is mutter b'shas ha'machama. Anything after that, via shnia, is only lachar gerus. Fundamental machlok is Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's still not simple, but if I were to ask you, what is it that the pasuk is being matir? Maybe one could argue, Birishona. Birishona was before gerus, b'shas ha'mochama. In such a case, normally this would be aser. The Heter HaKra is the allowance of Birishona. Still what's somewhat difficult with this is the following. That Birishona, that's a Bir with an Achris. Is that an Isser D'Araisa? That's what the Ritva is bothered by. That's a very Chomor Isser D'Rabam. Bias Nachris. But in order to understand the Heter HaFas Torah, you have to be dealing with an Isser D'Araisa. So what is this Siddharaisa, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, that Birishon takes place, Kodem Gerus? What exactly is that Isser? So the Ritva writes the following Chiddush. When do we assume that Bias Nachris is Nisid Rabbanon? That is only Bitsina. If, however, it's Bifarhesia, so in such a case, then we apply the principle of Kanayin Poginbo, Pinchas. Kanayin Poginbo. Normally, if one is Baal HaNachris Bifarhesia, Kanayin Poginbo, you can kill the individual. That's a Din D'Araisa. this is an exception to Kanoin Pogin, but interesting finish. And the Ritzvah just explains a little bit further what is entailed in this finish. Even though here the Maisa Bia is not necessarily Bitfarhesia, but nonetheless the Yefastor is taken publicly in battle, that is tantamount to a Bia Bitfarhesia to apply the principle of Kanoin Pogin. What about according to Rashi, Shita? According to Rashi, the entire Maisa Bia is like Lachar Gerus. So what's the heter of Hastor? That you're allowed to marry a Gioris? That's the heter? Of course Yisrael can marry a Gioris. But the Gemara thinks, holy Shtar Yishtri. If Yisrael can marry a Gioris, a Kohen can marry a Gioris. How can that be? What's the heter then, according to Rashi? So the Ritzvah writes a further Kiddush, and that's the following. This is not a normal Gerus. If this would be a Gerus that meets all the requirements of Gerus, you don't need a Heter Hakra. This is a Yisrael marrying a Gioris. But here the Gerus is Balkarcha. That's the Kiddush of the Ritzvah. The Gerus is Balkarcha. It's not that the woman is given this choice. Normally speaking, a gerus balkarcho is not considered to be a gerus at all. The chiddush of the parsha of Hastor is the allowance of such a form of gerus, a gerus which is balkarcho. And then there is for us an incredible chiddush. The Tosfos in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph, discusses at length this machlokes, Rashi Rabbi Natan, and writes that isn't it explicit, like the view of Rabbi Natan. On what basis is this? Because the Gemara says the following, that Tamar, right, Bas David, Tamar was a Bas Yifas Tamar. Tamar was the daughter of Maacha, who was a Bas Yifas Tamar. How do you know that that's true, that Tamar was a Bas Yifas Tamar? The Gemara quotes the incident in Shmuel Beis, right, from Perikid Gimel. That Amnon is about to attack Tamar, and Tamar pleads with Amnon that, why are you doing this? Daber nal hamelech, go speak to Dover HaMelech, ki lo yimna eini minech, that Dover HaMelech will give you rishus, allow us to get married. So isn't that very difficult? That, no, Tamar and Amnon were brother and sister. What does the pasuk mean that let's do this the right way? The Gemara says, "Achte mi avi shayalei, brother and sister mutter tarayos, and shmamina basi pastorais." So what does that mean? So Tosfos says the following chiddush according to Rabbi Natan. Now you understand very well what that means. Birishon is mutter b'malchama. That's before gerus. If Tamar was conceived before Gerus, so therefore Tamar is the daughter of Maacha, but no shape or form is she related to David HaMelech. And therefore, lahalacha, Tamar and Amnon are not brother and sister. But if you will argue, as Rashi does, that nothing is allowed right now. Now, if nothing is allowed right now, how does it help? The answer is, as Rashi points out, pas v'sama. If there is a heter, we'll turn to this person and say that, look, you don't have to allow my CB right now. Just wait, and this will be allowed. That will be enough to assuage the Eitzar. But if Bia Rishon is only much lachar gerus, so how does it help to assume that Bas Yifas Tamar? Laachar gerus, the yichus is achar ha'av, and still you have the difficult kasha, achte mi'avi shayalei, their brother and sister. Tosfos suggests, maybe, right, it sounds like a somewhat difficult eretz. Tosfos mentions the following, that maybe when the Gemara says that Tamar was the Bas Yifas Tamar, it means that Tamar was the daughter of Maacha, but not even biologically the daughter of David HaMelech. Tamar was the daughter of Maacha from someone else previously. And she's referred to as the Bas Melech because she lived in the household of the king. If that's the case, fine. But is there any way of assuming that's not true, according to Rashi Shita? So the Ritva writes an astounding chiddush. According to Rashi, what is the entire heter of this parsha? We allow what otherwise would not be a gerus. This isn't a gerus which is midas, this is a form of a gerus which is bal kocha. So the Ritva writes the following great chiddush. This is not a complete, absolute gerus at all. This type of process, everything that is delineated in the parsha, is necessary in order to create an Isser Bia, to be mafkia the Isser Bia Sakul, but it does not result in a Kedushas Yisrael. In which case, even the Achar Geruzeh, the child still is not considered to be a Bas Yisrael with the Yichus of the natural father. This Gerus is only Matcha the Isra B'Yasakum. It doesn't result in a Kedushas Yisrael. That's what the Ritva writes according to Rashi Shita. So these are the possibilities. What is the Heter of this Parsha Yifas Tawar? One is it allows the B'Yasakum, which was Kodem Gerus. According to Tosus, we don't know that this Gerus is any different than the other Gerus. According to Rashi, no, this is a quasi-gerus, and it's mapped to this Serbia, but doesn't necessarily result in a Kedushas Yisrael. And that's the Chiddush of the Parsha. Rav Menachem Zem ben Zera Avram in Simen Chav Dalet writes that there should be significant differences between them. The Ramban in the beginning of the Parsha quotes the Sifri, V'achar Kein Tavoy Leo Bavalta. The Sifri writes the following, the Ein Lachava Ela Mitzvahs Bi'ilun. All there is when it comes to Yifas Torah is Bi'ah. What exactly does that mean? The Ramban explains, She'ein Kedushe Kesef Ushtar Tosim Bi'Yifas Torah. How do you accomplish Kedushin with Yifas Torah? The Ramban writes, based on the Sifri, Bi'ah, be alone. And this is against the Ramban. The Ramban writes, Nochus Malachim, Venosa v'ksuva v'kedushin. Ramper chesel achavav. Ksuva v'kedushin. That's issues of Yisrael. But Menachem Zemba points out that that's what Shita say. The Rambam assumes, in per chesel achahei, like Tosus, that the heter v'yifas Torah is biri shalma. The gerus is a regular gerus that one would envision generally. And the Achar Gerushi is a full Bas Yisrael. And therefore, at the time of the Ishus, it's Ishus of Yisrael, Ksuva V'Kedushin. If one assumes as Rashi Shita that the Gerus is Matcha Disrabiya, in such a case, it doesn't result in a Kedushas Yisrael. So therefore, the type of Ishus that you'll have is Bulas Baal. Yishus similar to Benoah, Bia, but not Ksuva v'Kedushin. Tosus points out in the beginning of that sugya, Kedushin Chafal Chavei, there's Yishus when it comes to Benoah as well. Eishus Yifas Toah, Rabos Eishus Ish. In fact, Rav Menachem Zemba Raish says the following, the Gemara's in Kedushin, that's Vayim and Vayim, we saw last year, that Kesev v'Yishus, lo Ashkatan Bal Karcho. You never find Kesev v'Yishus Bal Karcho. From Malcolm Zemba just raised a simple issue. What about Yifas Torah? So the answer is no miman afshav. You don't find it. Because if you allow anything bal karcha, like one could envision according to Rashi, the entire gerus and issues is bal karcha, that would mean that the gerus is not a full gerus, it's not a gerus of Yisrael. In such a case, you don't allow for Kedushe Kesef. If you allow for Kedushe Kesef, that means the gerus is a full gerus, issues of Yisrael, but then the kedushin has to be midata. So you'll never have the combination of kedushin, which is bal karcha. The Ramban even raises the following issue. The Torah mentions them subsequently, and let's assume this relationship dissolves between he and the pastoa. So v'shilachto l'nafsha, sends her out on her own. Sends her out. The Ramban discusses: is there a need for a get? Or no need for again. From Nachem Zemba writes that again, that this should hinge on this issue as well. If it's the full issues of the full Geirus, well, of course, right? Mishilata nafsha means how they get. If you assume that no, that is not true, so in such a case, this was not a full issues, and therefore no get is necessary, like when it comes to Bnei Noach, that no get be necessary in Islam. But based on what we mentioned at the beginning of this year, one could envision a further heter of Yitfas Torah. Not only the Geirus Balcharfo, as the Ritva writes according to Rashi, or not as Bnei Tam writes the Biri Shona, one could argue according to the Rambam Shita, the heter Yitfas Torah is the heter of Losechaya Kol Neshama. If you learn as Rashi does, that the Parshi Yitfas Torah is only when it comes to Melchemes HaRashus, so there's no halacha of Losechaya Kol Neshama. But if you assume that the Rambam even applies to Melchemes Mitzvah, what do you mean, Lo Sechai Kol Neshama? The answer is that this is a heter to the Isra of Lo Sechai Kol Neshama. So perhaps that's the thrust of the Parsha of Yifas Torah. Three possibilities, right? The possibility Rambam discusses explicitly in the Ritva, Biri Shon or Geras Pacharcho, but according to the Rambam Shita, perhaps this is the exception, Lo Sechai Kol Neshama, provided that, right, we're referring to a case where it's considered to be, right, a Melchemes Mitzvah. Take a look at that piece in the Rashba, tradition of Kabbalah. Right? Again, a fascinating issue. The models of Utra Dechuya, right, and the Nafkamina, when you apply that principle of hold the Ishtri Ishtri. Rokhanan has just the following added Ha'ara. Hold the Ishtri Ishtri cannot apply to Dechuya, it only applies to Utra. But hold the Ishtri Ishtri also must assume that there is an Issa. There is an Issa. If one were to argue an extreme position that there is no Isser whatsoever, if one were to argue that there's no Isser of Eishasach in any shape or form of Makom Yibum, there's no Isser, how can you apply a principle hold the Ishtri Ishtri? There must be a Matir. Bachanan points out, let's discuss this in later Shirim, there really are three possibilities. One is something could be Mutter because an Isser doesn't exist. Something could be Mutter because there's an Isser which is Putra, or Issa, which is Duhuya. Holy Ishtri Ishtri only applies to that middle ground. On the one hand, there is an Issa, which is Paka, but it's Paka Lagamre. If there would not be any Issa whatsoever, so in such a case, then you wouldn't assume. For instances of Holy Ishtri Ishtri. Important for Kiddush, which is not coming to. Okay, Mr. Shem will continue on Sunday with the new Sugya of Karen Kain Shinamah.